Praise God, praise God. Amen. In your Bibles today, the book of Psalms. Chapter 68. Again, we welcome all of the Villa clan. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord. Amen. A treat that's very special for your mom and dad, but certainly for the whole church. It's good to see all of you. Amen. The Lord bless you so much. Psalm 68, just reading one verse together. Verse 6, a number of verses in chapter 68 that can receive a focus, but today I just feel directed to verse 6. Thank the Lord for families. Amen. Let's read it together. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That's quite a contrast. That's quite a choice. And amazingly, there are choices being made that would cause people not to be in the place of blessing, but in the place of a dry land, in the sense of not having the sustenance or life or blessing that the Lord would provide. But I'm thankful God can make a change. God can make incredible changes. Praise God. And I'm thankful that's who we serve today, and that's who we're calling upon. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, and the Lord bless you so much. Recently, there has been some astronomy and astronomical wonders that have been displayed by the telescope that was launched, and amazing images have been posted online. You probably have seen some. And then an incredible feat of sending a weapon, basically a spaceship that was a weapon, and crashed it into an asteroid to try to alter its path, with the idea that if there's ever an asteroid that threatens Earth, we would have this spaceship weapon that we could launch, and it would collide with that asteroid and maybe not destroy it, probably not, because they're large enough and solid enough, but to alter its trajectory so that it would not strike Earth. And pretty amazing that that could be done. That the accuracy of all of space out there, and it would zero right in on that particular asteroid and explode and leave a trail of debris 6,000 miles long. Amazing how they can measure all of that. And how they can see all of that, because it's just a small, it wouldn't even appear in the night sky, it's just a small asteroid, but yet they were able to get it. Well, our God is awesome. He is astronomically awesome. Praise God. He is beyond belief awesome. And I'm thankful that He spoke the worlds into existence, creating something out of nothing. And the worlds were framed, the Bible says. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Lord just spoke that asteroid into existence. And all that is in our solar system and all that is in our galaxy and all that is in the universe. And it's just startling to know how much is there and that God just said it. And there it is. Praise God. He calls the stars by name. He numbers them. The Bible says, amen. And it was a heavenly body, a star perhaps, maybe, well, whatever it was shining in the night sky to help announce the birth of the Messiah. And thank the Lord that that astronomical wonder was used for the glory of God. The Bible talks about the circle of the earth. When there were those who said the earth is flat, and by the way, there are still people who say the earth is flat. There's a whole association of them that say the earth is flat, even though, The circle of the earth is found in Isaiah 40 and 22. And Job commented in Job 26 and 7, he hangs the earth upon nothing. Magnetic fields, orbits and rotations, revolutions and all of those sorts of things. How incredible that our God just said it. And there it is. And if scientists and astronomers want to claim it's been there for billions of years, all the better. Because our God makes things that last. They don't fail. They don't falter. They don't, you know, they don't stop. Our Lord just does the work. Psalm 89 and 12 says that he created north and south. And we're left to puzzle and wonder, how is that magnetic field there? How is it maintained? We don't see it. We know the compass reacts to it. We know the GPS system works with it. And Brother Ricky working with airplanes and systems and so on. It's just amazing what is there. But our God created it. Our God spoke it into existence. Amen. Man didn't create it. Gravity, just again, something that is part of our creation. And had to be designed. How could that have just happened? By chance, by some roll of the dice, so to speak. Oh no, thank the Lord, we have an awesome God. Moreover, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 1 and 3 lets us know his word is powerful to uphold all things, to maintain it, to keep it going. It doesn't stop, it doesn't falter, it doesn't fail. Our God does that work, praise God. And there are boundaries that are there. The moon has its orbit around Earth. It comes a little bit closer, it goes a little farther out, but it maintains that all the time. You would think that gravity perhaps would pull it in closer, and maybe I'll make a prediction, 20 billion years from now, maybe there will be a collision, and there's no rocket that's going to shoot it down. Oh, well. The placement of stars and galaxies, how incredible. How great our God is. How wonderful. But here's where it becomes personal. Here's where it becomes real for you. I'm thankful that the Lord is interested in you, the solitary, the individual. There's no one like you, no one who can take your place, no one who could have your testimony, because you are unique in the plan of God. The Lord knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows what your wishes are. He knows what your goals and ambitions are. And he is holding out the opportunity for you to enter into a relationship with him. Imagine that. The one who created everything. The one who spoke it into existence. The one who upholds it all by the word of his power. The one who says, operate the way I said and keep going until I change it. And he hasn't changed it. Praise God. And he invites you, he invites me to come into his presence and to know his goodness and his power. It was so strong in the desire that he had for you that he was willing to leave his thrones in heaven and come as a baby into this world that he created and hang on a cross for 6 hours until he gave up the ghost and died and laid in a tomb for 3 days. But thank God, he's able to come forth in power and glory. He's able to come forth in victory over death and hell and the grave. And he invites you, he invites me into his presence. Praise God. And I'm thankful that he's the one who sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And he moves us into his family. Family. Oh my. Thank God for family. Ephesians 3 and 15 says the whole family in heaven and earth is named by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're baptized in that name. That's the family name. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we can take that step of faith and obedience. And Paul said he bows his knees to that name. And every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Praise God. And I thank the Lord we have that opportunity to take on the name above every name and know the blessings of the Lord and that name being there for salvation, because he invites us to join his family. He invites us to move into his church. Thank God for his goodness and his blessing. There was a time that there were those who were hearing him speak, and they informed him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And the Lord clarified who it is that is his relatives. He said, it's the one who does the will of God. It's the one who finds the will of God in his word and obeys it. Thank God that there is that power and that blessing that he moves us into. In contrast now, in this short verse that we read today, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You see, choices have consequences. You can make your choices, and it would seem as though that it's going to be the right direction, it's going to turn out good for you, it's going to be an advantageous thing that you have. But the Bible lets us know it seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's not the choice that God wants for us. That's not the direction that God wants us to go. But there are consequences for each choice. Eve disregarded the commandment. Adam did as well. And a curse came upon mankind. Cain chose his own sacrifice, and he was rejected. The people built the Tower of Babel, and confusion came upon the earth. Jonah chose to flee from the presence of God, and he had a whale of a time in that place. The world forgets the cross, and they forfeit forgiveness. What a poor decision. What a poor choice. I think about those two sons in Luke 15. One said, give me my inheritance. And he gathered his inheritance. He gathered all of it. And he left home. He went to a far country, the Bible says. Thank the Lord he chose that route rather than torment his mom and dad for seeing the lifestyle that he adopted. He went to a far country. And the Bible says he spent all that he had. You see, he was turning his back on the way he had grown up. He turning his back on the values that he was taught. He rebelled against how he was instructed. He lived like he wanted to, without rules, without regulations, without restrictions. I am going to have my own good time. Then, consequences of the choice came to him. It always does. You can't avoid it. There's never going to be a time when I would make a choice and the consequences start to come upon me and I hold out my hand and I say, no, those consequences aren't going to come my direction. I refuse. No, it's not going to happen. Consequences always come with every choice. And there was a consequence that he had no choice in, the famine that impacted the whole land. The Bible talks about that famine that came, and not only he began to be in want, but everyone began to be in want. And he had spent all that he had, and he had no more resources, and the only job that he could find, thankfully he was willing to work, but the only job he could find was feeding pigs. Not a choice position, not a choice place for him to be. And the only food that he could afford was what the pigs were eating. And he began to consider that that would be what he would have to eat. What a sad change that came to him. And the Bible is true. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. It wasn't a situation that he could enjoy. It wasn't something that he could relax in and he could summon his friends and say, hey, come and enjoy our time together here. No. It was a difficult time, but thankfully, he made a good choice. Of all the bad choices that he made, of all the things that he involved himself in, and all the directions that he went, he made a good choice. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful there was that choice. He perhaps hoped for the best, but this was the best hope. This was the way that he was able to return home. And he came with a different attitude. It wasn't a give me attitude now. It was a make me. He was willing to have his father step into his life again and give direction. Praise God. He returned home, and thankfully, the father and all that were on the farm were welcoming him. They declared he was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Thank God that they celebrated. Thank God that they recognized how wonderful it was for him to return home. He's back with his family now. He's back where he belongs. He's back where there's love and compassion and empathy and understanding. Thank God he is back where there's forgiveness. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord puts us in his family, puts us in the church. Helps us to understand what he's provided and how he is blessed. But in the middle of this celebration, in the middle of all that was going on that was good, it's odd that there was rebellion. The elder son didn't like what was going on. He felt like the young brother deserved condemnation. He felt like there shouldn't have been the opportunity to celebrate the younger brother coming back. He wouldn't enter the house. He wouldn't join in the celebration. He wouldn't become a part of the welcoming party that was excited about the son returning home after months or years or however long it was that he was in that far country, spending all that he had and his life and reputation being changed and dragging his father's name through the mud and all of those kinds of things that were going on. That young man stood out and did not want to enter in. His father came to him just like he went to the younger man who returned from the far country with a different attitude. His father came to him, the older brother, and said, "All that I have is thine. Everything that I have, you have access to. You don't have to stand outside. You don't have to hesitate. You can enter right in. And you can be a part of it as well." Oh, God, help us never to have an attitude of rebellion, no matter what the instigation would be, no matter what the problem is, because those kinds of choices have consequences as well. But, oh, I can live in the presence of the Lord. I can choose to work for him, to honor his name, and to live in his promises, to rejoice in his presence, and to know how good he is. Praise God. I'm thankful that as the father reached out to the rebellious son that was there in rebellion for just a moment, I'm glad that the Lord reaches out for those who are rebellious. Isaiah 65:2, the Lord said, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts," their own ideas, their own thinking, their own choices. And the Lord held out his hands so long that they were nailed to a cross. I know that that is a figurative manner of speech, but understand it's real. It's real. And thank God the Lord was willing to take our punishment. He was willing to pay the price for our sin so that we could make a choice to move away from the rebellion and the dry land. Choose to walk in the way that is good. Choose to walk in the way that the Lord had for us. Thank God that we can listen to his commands and know there would be peace like a river. There would be blessing that is extravagant. There would be abundance beyond our imagination. Nation. Thank God that we can listen and follow to the Lord's leading and the blessings of God that would come out. Yes, he does bring out the bound. Amen. We sang about chains today. And we know there are figurative chains. There are things that perhaps would hold us back. As in thought patterns that are negative, thought patterns that are self-degrading, and feeling like we don't deserve, and I don't think I can pray because God's not going to answer my prayers. Those kind of thought patterns are chains, and the Lord can break them. Thought patterns that can lead to habits. and habits that become chains, addictions that become chains. I'm thankful that the Lord can break those figurative chains and he can break the literal chains. Amen. I think about the man who lived in the village of Gadara, and he had the nickname Legion. Some nicknames are cute. Some nicknames are endearing. This was not one of those. Legion would have the connotation of the Romans, who were despised and hated because of their conquering and iron fist rule over Palestine. But I'm thankful that the Lord was not going to stop. He was not going to hesitate. He was not going to go another direction. Even though Legion meant demons that were dwelling in that man, I'm thankful the Lord made that trip in that place. That man from Gadara was bound with fetters. The Bible says he was bound with chains. But when demonic power came upon him, he was able to burst them asunder and break them apart. Whatever the fetters were, whether they were ropes or leather straps or whatever it was, the chains that were made by the blacksmith locally there, and they rattled those chains up to where that poor man lived, and they ganged up on him and wrapped him up in those chains, but demonic power would break them. No one was able to stop him. He did not live in his neighborhood. He did not live in his home. The Bible says he lived in the tombs in far. In fact, Mark 5 says three times he was in the tombs, as though to emphasize that's how terrible his existence was. That's how awful his time being away from his family was. All the trouble, all the terror, as he was crying out among the tombs and cutting himself with stones. Why was he doing that? Because the Bible lets us know the thief, who is the devil, would come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's not to give you a good time. It's not to provide for you all that you would seek in pleasure and happiness. No, he is going to steal from you. He is going to kill your joy. He's going to destroy your soul. And that's exactly what was going on with that man from Gadara as he dwelt among the tombs, screaming and crying and terrorizing the village. But thank God Jesus came. Thank God Jesus didn't make the chains. Thank God the Lord could break those chains. Hallelujah. When he simply said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And thank God the power of the Lord made a difference. When the villagers came to see what was going on, they saw the man clothed. He would strip himself naked. He would tear off his clothes. He would scream and cry. But now, because the Lord had made a difference, he is clothed. He's in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. No longer racing among the tombs, screaming and crying. No longer cutting himself in trying to end his life. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would make a difference. Thank God for the strength of the Lord that would bring about the change. The demons went into the pigs. The pigs went running off the cliff and into the water and drowned. The villagers lost the pigs, but look at what they gained. Look at the change that came to that man. Look at the power of God that was displayed on his behalf. He is clothed. He's in his right mind. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's peaceful, and he's complete. He's healed. He's taken care of. Praise God. They asked the Lord to depart. Oh, God, help us to make better choices than that. Help us to continue on, God, if that's the power you have to make a change in an individual's life, in my life. God, I want you to continue to make that change. God, I want you to continue to bring the changes to me that you have for me. I know it's not just one and done. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's blessing. It's strength. It's goodness. It's glory. Hallelujah. And the power of God is what we step into. Hallelujah. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the goodness and the glory of the Lord. The Lord told that man to return to his home and to show great things that God had done for him. He went back to the city and he ended up telling the whole city. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord can show his power and how he could bless in a wonderful way. I think that Luke 4:18 was fulfilled to the nth degree in that situation. The brokenhearted were healed. That man had his broken heart healed. His family had their broken hearts healed. Thank God they were united. They were put back together. They were in a place of peace and happiness. There was deliverance to the captives. No longer did the people have to get new chains and new straps and new ropes to try to bind him. He is no longer captive. He has been delivered. Hallelujah. Sight to the blind? Maybe not literally, but it had been a long time since they had seen that man in his right mind. It had been a long time since they saw him united with his family. It had been a long time since they'd seen him walking down the streets of their village, calm and clothed. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that God can restore sight. That is something that we perhaps have not seen in a long time. But oh, God can do the powerful work of deliverance. God can make a change. Hallelujah. And liberty for the bruised would come forth. I'm glad that there was healing. I'm glad there was blessing. I'm glad there was strength. Oh, our God does a great work. I think about the woman with the infirmity in Luke 13. Bowed over, could not straighten up. For 18 years, she struggled with that condition. And no doubt it became worse and worse. And her eyes were downcast now. And her vision probably just was of her feet and a short distance of the path that she may have walked upon, the streets going to the marketplace and the streets going to her relatives or wherever. It just became a difficult time for her more and more. But when Jesus saw her, he didn't just commiserate. He didn't just express sympathy. He didn't just let her know he understood where he was. No, he called her to him. And he said a simple phrase, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Praise God. He laid his hand on her. Immediately, she was made straight, and she began to glorify God. Oh, my. How amazing. How incredible. How wonderful. Praise God. And it just seems ludicrous that there would be those who would be critical of the Lord, saying, "This is the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be doing anything like that on the Sabbath day." If they were the ones that were made straight, if they were the family of the ones that she was restored to, I would imagine there would be rejoicing instead of the criticism. But thank God the Lord extended his mercy to her. And I'm thankful that we can get our own experience. I don't know what may be bowing you down today. Not in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, in an emotional sense, in a mental sense, in a spiritual sense. I'm thankful the Lord can point to you and say, "You are loosed from your infirmity." You see, it was a spirit of infirmity that was upon her, but the Lord brought deliverance. The Lord brought power. The Lord broke those chains. Praise God. Amen. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The stone was in front of the tomb in which he laid. He was bound by death. His exit was blocked by that rock. It was over. That's it. No one had the answer for death. No one had the cure. No one had the ability until Jesus stepped forth and said, "Take away the stone." Now, that stone wouldn't block Jesus from doing a work. Stone wouldn't hold him back. But he wanted everybody to see what he was going to do. He didn't want anything to block their vision. And of course, there was the, complaint. There was the explanation. There was the exclamation, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and by now, the smell." Oh, there are unpleasant circumstances that the Lord can step into. There are things that we can't handle that the Lord can do a work. And oftentimes, seeing is believing is what we say. But here's what the Lord told them: "If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And thank God, the power of the Lord was what they were desiring to see. So some strong men got over there and began to roll that stone aside. It scraped and it squealed and it made noise as it moved across. The gravel crunched under it. And maybe there were those who stepped back from the darkness that they would see in that tomb. And maybe some inadvertently held their nose or put a cloth over their face because they were indeed concerned about the odor. But Jesus simply said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, we didn't say it in a calm voice like I just did. He called it out. He yelled it out. Amen. Was he concerned that it wasn't going to work? Was he feeling like, maybe I should say it quietly just in case it fails. Oh, no. He wanted everybody to hear. He wanted everybody to know. He wanted all who were present to recognize. Keep your eye upon that black spot in the rock because there's going to be a change. Lazarus, come forth. How long was the delay before they could detect movement? How soon did it happen that they saw feet swing off the ledge of that stone and be planted upon the ground again, and him come shuffling out of the darkness of that tomb, wrapped in grave clothes, a napkin upon his face? But the Lord wasn't done with his deliverance. The Lord wasn't finished with his work. He said, "Loose him and let him go." Praise God. I wonder who was first that would step forward and take that napkin off of his face and look into the eyes of a Lazarus who is alive. Look into the eyes of the friend that they'd had for years and years. They'd worked beside, they'd laughed with, they'd talked with, they compared scripture with, and now here he is. And they began to unwrap those grave clothes. They began to take him loose, and his arms began to move. Hallelujah. And his feet began to shuffle. And there were those, no doubt, who joined in the rejoicing. They couldn't hold it back. They couldn't stop. They couldn't wipe the smile off of their face. Their tears began to flow down their face as they saw him hug his sisters again. Oh, my God does a good work. My God knows how to break the chain. My God knows how to move through his power and through his goodness. Oh, hallelujah. That's who we're serving. That's who we call upon. That's who we know is so great and so wonderful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, in your lifetime, it's happened. In your lifetime. Praise God. Go to Lee Stone King's website. I guess he has a website. I don't know. Go to Lee Stone King's website and know there's a man who was dead for half an hour laying in an airport in Hong Kong. Praise God. Look at Jeff Arnold, who collapsed on the platform and basically died. And then he wakes up and looks around, and people are astonished, and worship goes up unto the Lord. And he turns to somebody and say, "What's going on? What's everybody worshiping about?" Praise God. It's happened in your lifetime. But let me tell you what's even greater. Let me tell you what's even more powerful is for someone to repent and ask the Lord to forgive them, to ask the Lord to change their lives, to ask the Lord to break the chains that hold them back, to ask the Lord to bring them into his family. Praise God. And they're baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, like the Bible says. Like the Bible says. The only way people were baptized is in the Bible. Praise God. And God fills them with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That is the spiritual resurrection. That is the life that God gives. That is the power that the Lord provides when there are those who stop being rebellious. There are those who stop being disobedient. There are those who stop going their own way, their own thoughts, their own decisions, and they decide, "I'm going to live the way God wants me to live. I'm going to walk the way he wants me to walk. And thank God his power is there, because he does heal the brokenhearted. He does deliver the captives. He does recover sight to the blind. He does give liberty to them that are bruised. That's the power that my God has today. There are those who would claim it's irrelevant. There are those who would claim it's outdated. There are those who would say that's for another era. But oh, thank God, as long as there's sin, there needs to be repentance. As long as there's sin that needs to be remitted, the power of the name of Jesus Christ can do it. As long as there are those who are hungering and thirsting, the Lord will fill with the power of his Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a great God we serve. The Bible says he heals the broken in heart. Moreover, the scripture tells us the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't push it off. He doesn't say, that's beyond my capability. He doesn't say, I don't know what to do for you. Oh, no. He has the answers. He has the way to move and to work. Praise God. There are those who make foolish and frivolous decisions, but the Lord is able to bring the bound out of bondage. Amen. And thank God, the power of the Lord is there. It doesn't matter if it's depression or despair. Those chains can be broken. It doesn't matter if it's fear or guilt. Those bonds can be taken care of. It doesn't matter if it's habit or sickness. The Lord breaks those chains. Praise God. Paul declared he was in bonds. But in the same statement, he said, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God still works. The word of God still provides. The word of God still brings forth. Praise God. And oh, hallelujah. There's going to be bounds that are going to be broken of the Lord, that he instituted, that he made, that he spoke into existence. Gravity is going to be broken. Death is going to be destroyed. Praise God. And oh, hallelujah. There's going to be that rapture. There's going to be that signal of the trumpet and the shout and the voice. And then incredible changes. Incredible changes. And the Bible tells us we're not going to be bound by the things that we experience here in this earth. Not going to be bound by the things that we're up against here again and again. Tears, he's going to wipe away tears. What's it going to be like to feel his hand go across your face? And he's going to say, there's no more tears, Becca. No more tears. You're in my presence forever. No more pain, Brother Rick. No more pain. None. For the rest of your existence. Forever. No more sorrow. No more death. Oh, man. How incredible. How awesome. And yet there are those that turn away from that. There are those that say, sounds good, but got something else I want to do. Someplace else I need to go. I want to make sure. Not just the 50 years that I have in ministry, but the 55 years I have in serving God. I want to make sure I don't make a stupid mistake of walking away from that promise. Walking away from that possibility of being in His presence forever. I want to make sure the devil doesn't deceive me. And my own heart doesn't deceive me, because my heart is deceitful above all things. It's wicked. And so I've got to be able to say, Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my thinking. Lord, change my life. Let it be pleasing to You. Let me walk in the place that You have for me. Praise God. And end up in that eternal realm. You talk about bound. I love to read Revelation 20, where the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Praise God. And then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. I like that part. And then I like to read Revelation 21:4. I like to read Revelation 22:17. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. Come and drink of the waters of life freely. Praise God. Oh, man. A dry land? Why would I choose that when the waters of life are there freely? And the blessings of God that are so powerful. Please stand with me. A simple choice. A simple choice is yours to make here in the next few minutes. You know what I'm going to say. You know how I'm going to invite you to come and pray. You know how we're going to stand here in the presence of God for several minutes and just be refreshed. Just be renewed, regenerated, revived in what God has for us here right now. And a simple choice that I want us to make with every fiber of our being, with every ounce of our strength, with every bit of determination that you can conjure up within you. A choice that says, God, I belong to You. God, I'm going to serve You. God, I'm going to live for You. Praise God. And I invite you to make that choice. I know there's lots of exciting things that you look forward to the rest of the day. Lots of things that you want to get done. But please, just in this moment, in this time, make that choice. Would you come? Crowd right in. Praise God. Worship team's going to sing. We're in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, come and join my family. You don't have to be solitary. You don't have to be on your own. I've got a family you can join. I've got a church that you can be a part of. Don't be rebellious. Don't go the wrong direction. Don't choose to ignore it. No, no. Come on. Ha.